In Cambridge this month, scientists are battling it out in an effort to become the city's FameLab champion. Six finalists have been chosen by a panel of judges and they're set to go head-to-head on the 9th of March at the Cambridge Junction.
Between now and then, we're going to be hearing from one of those finalists every single week. And first up is Kirsten Gapfrick, who is with us now. Kirsten, just before we launch into what you managed to win your heat with, tell us a bit about you.
I'm a PhD student at the Cavendish Laboratory. That's the Department of Physics of the University of Cambridge. And that is actually where Watson and Crick discovered the structure of the DNA about 60 years ago. And actually in my lab, we're also working with DNA.
And so it's entirely relevant that your 3-minute piece is going to be on how we read the sequence of DNA.
Yes, I believe as a scientist, it is my duty to make people aware of a technology which I believe will have a big impact on our lives in the very near future. And we as scientists, we can only deliver tools, but we have to decide as a society on how we want to use them. And this is why I believe information is the key, and I want to make people aware of what is the state of the art of DNA sequencing.
Right, the rules of FameLab, you get 3 minutes, and we're going to time you, we're going to give you your 3 minutes.
Okay.
Kirsten Gapfrick, your time on DNA sequencing starts now.
DNA is the molecule that stores the information of life, a molecule that copies itself. Surely the greatest invention of nature, and actually the reason we are all here today. Volumes of history are written in the ancient alphabet of A and T, G and C. Stories of the present and the past that we're just starting to decipher. And that is where DNA sequencing comes in. DNA sequencing means decoding the information of life, reading the 3 billion letters of the human genome. That is a lot of information. The naked scientist would have to broadcast continuously, day and night, for 100,000 years before they will have broadcasted 3 billion podcasts. So why do we even bother? We scientists believe that DNA sequencing will help us to give the right drug to the right patient, to prevent diseases long before we even suffer from the symptoms. This is why the Human Genome Project was initiated. It took 150 scientists, 13 years, and $3 billion to decode one single human genome. That was back in 2003. Sequencing for everyone? Certainly not. But what if we could do it for less than $1,000 in 10 minutes using a small device like this USB stick? This might be possible by nanopore sequencing, a technique pioneered by our collaborators Oxford Nanopore. DNA sequencing could be done on the fly in the hospitals during an operation. The $1,000 genome became a catchphrase for the sequencing industry, attracting inventors and investors. And actually, it was last year that the sequencing giant Illumina announced that they can sequence a human genome for under $1,000. You may think that computers have developed at an unprecedented speed, with computing power doubling every 2 years, but that is nothing compared to DNA sequencing. The cost of DNA sequencing has dropped by a factor of 100,000 in just a decade. To me, that is overwhelming. But there is not much time to be overwhelmed, because we are facing a new reality. Do we want to predict our fortune with DNA sequences? Do we want to accept that we're fat because we have the couch potato gene? DNA stands for do not abuse, do not alter, or dignity needs awareness. Let's be aware of what is out there. DNA sequencing is at our fingertips, and it has the power to change our lives, in a good and in a bad way. So I invite you to work together to come towards sensible guidelines for our future.
Kirsten, that was to the second 3 minutes. Very well done. Kirsten Gapfrick from the University of Cambridge, she was one of the FameLab finalists. One person said to me, why is DNA called DNA? And the answer, of course, is dunno.
Groan. Your jokes are getting worse, I'm sure.